So I actually want to share a brief devotion this morning from the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. And it's just a concept that comes up here in this book, but it doesn't really appear anywhere else, this idea. But it is such a powerful idea and has become the theme of many songs. And it is, for me, a theme today. One of the songs in the worship set will actually use these words, and we'll worship the Lord together with these saints of old who have held on to this concept and this idea for a long, long time. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll just read from verse 13 through verse 20. It's a somewhat complicated passage because there's a lot of backstory to it, and I'm not going to get into all of that today, but I'm going to lift just the one picture from here, and you'll understand once we get through. Nevertheless, I want to read it in its context. So Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Lord, may you use your word and the preaching of it to bring light and life to all who listen. In Jesus' name, amen. So the illustration or the image that I want to take from this is the illustration of an anchor. This is the only passage that I'm aware of that speaks of our hope being an anchor. Christ is our hope, and so Christ is our anchor, the anchor for our faith, and a sure and steadfast one at that. And I wanted to use this concept today just to give a brief devotion about the trustworthiness of our Lord and how we really can rely upon Him. I think that in many ways we are tested. We are tested in our faithful hope on a consistent basis. For those of us who struggle from time to time with concerns for the future, where am I going to work? What am I going to eat? Where will I sleep? How will I pay my bills? How will my relationships proceed? And how will broken things be put back together again? For those of us who struggle with questions like that, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, when we can't sleep, I want you to know that God has made a promise, and we are heirs of that promise. The promise which He made to Abraham so very long ago is still the promise that God makes to us today. And what is that promise? The promise is that He will bless us and multiply us. I've walked with some people through some very difficult seasons of life. As pastor, I have the privilege of being a bystander, sometimes in the most intimate of times when people are suffering tremendous loss. I also get to stand by when people have successes, and I like those a lot. I like it when people celebrate the birth of a new child, celebrate a wedding, when people celebrate success in business or the answer to a prayer, when people celebrate the advancement of their children and so forth. These things make me very, very happy, and I love it. I love a good party. Anybody here like a good party? We've had a few weddings in the last few months, and we haven't been able to celebrate as a big, big to-do as a church. But hopefully, when this is all said and done, we can throw a big shindig for everybody that's had big life events, and we can do it all together and just eat it up. And that will be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? But I will say that in the times of difficulty and trial, that it is sometimes very hard to try and help somebody shoulder the burden as they walk through their grief and their disappointment and the difficulty of loss. And I've walked with people through some tremendous loss. Perhaps the most difficult emotionally for me was standing at the bedside of a young woman as she gave birth to a dead child. Holding her hand in that hospital room as doctors and nurses worked to keep her safe and to keep her alive. But processing through the grief of that, and I think that may have been one of the most emotionally difficult times for me as a pastor. I consider it a privilege to walk alongside people at times like that, to be with them in their pre-op and post-op rooms in hospitals, to stand by them at a graveside as we say goodbye to their departed loved one. I consider it a privilege. It's not a privilege I look for. I pray to God that I will have that privilege only a few times, because I love you all. But I consider it a privilege because it is a godly thing to share the burdens with others in their time of difficulty. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus, and it is very heartwarming to know that God shares our pain. I want you to know that in times of difficulty and deep trial, whether it be something as profound as the loss of a loved one, or something as disappointing as the loss of a job and the insecurity that comes with that, I want you to know that you have an anchor in Jesus, and you have a promise. And the promise from God is not diminishment, but the promise of God is His grace and His blessing and multiplication. Now I want to pause for a moment, because multiplication doesn't always look like multiplication. Jesus dying on the cross did not look like multiplication, but it is necessary that a seed should die, as it were, and be planted in the soil in order for it to grow and to produce fruit. And so it is that our times of trial are to be celebrated perhaps more than our times of victory, because they are the dying of a seed, as it were, that it may produce more and life and abundance. And this is the message that I want to share with you today, and that is that not everything that appears to be loss is loss. Most of the losses in our lives, God has actually been a very present part of. And though that may be hard for you to grapple with, I need you to understand that the Lord never takes away for the sake of taking away. He only ever takes away that He may add, that He may give more. For the Lord's intention has been the same from the days of Abraham until today. I will bless you and multiply you. Is it not better that God multiply us eternally than that we should have some short-lived multiplication here in the land of the living? With that in mind, remember that though you may suffer loss here, if it is for the sake of the Lord, The end result is a multiplication in God's eternal kingdom that cannot ever be stolen away from you. Why do I say these things? I am simply prompted by the Holy Spirit today to offer this admonition, that you may not become weary in your believing and in your faith. Hold fast. He is an anchor who will not let go. Do not untie yourself from the anchor who is Christ. The illustration of an anchor is a powerful illustration for our purposes. I'm so glad that the author of Hebrews used it. From time to time, we have storms that come through in the summertime here on Cape Cod. Sometimes they're fierce storms. Most of the storms that we experience happen in the fall, nor'easters and so forth, and in the winter, when all the boats are out of the water. But sometimes in the summer, a storm will come through. And have you ever noticed the boats bobbing about out in the bay, attached to their moorings? I often think, would it not be better to take a boat out of the water when the storm comes? Surely you would do that, rather just bring the boat and lift it out and put it in some safe storage place where the wind and waves can't get to it. But actually, that is often very impractical, and sometimes storms come up in a hurry. As it turns out, the greatest sense of security that you could have, and the greatest true security you could have for your vessel, would be for it to be anchored, solidly anchored, in a good mooring, far away from rocks and shallow waters, so that when the waves and the wind pick up, the length of the chain being longer than the depth of the water, but just longer than the depth of the water, your anchor will hold, and the boat, the vessel, will not be crushed against the shore or against some shallow outlying rock. The anchor is the security in the storm. Anchors are not so good when you're sailing. You don't drop anchor when you're trying to catch the wind. You raise the anchor when you're trying to catch the wind, which is why the illustration of Christ being our anchor is very appropriate in the context of storms. In this particular passage, some commentators from the 19th century, I think A.J. Gordon, who founded Gordon College, came up with this with regard to the anchorarius, the forerunner. I'm not sure whether or not this actually holds up under scrutiny, but it is an interesting illustration, and some of you Googlers can maybe check it and see if it's true or not. But A.J. Gordon and some others, Charles Stanford and others, speak about an advanced team before military who would go in as forerunners into a particular place to establish a beachhead, as it were, so that the rest of the troops could land. Or in a storm, in advance of a storm, sailors, it is said, I'm not sure if this is true, and this is the part I'm not sure about, but it is said that sailors would carry an anchor in a rowboat, and they would row the anchor into the safe harbor when the ship couldn't get there because it was too heavy or because they couldn't get in for some reason. And they would drop the anchor in a safe place. The forerunner would be the boat that would go in front and carry the anchor into the safe harbor. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I'm not a sailor, and I couldn't tell you whether it's even appropriate for sailors to have done that. But the illustration, if it is in fact true, of Christ going before us behind the veil, that is death, to where God is, into the holy sanctuary of God, having died and having been raised to life again, Christ having gone into the holy presence of God in the most holy place, in advance of us, has anchored our hope in that place before we ever get there. So that in the storm we can pull ourselves into the safe harbor by pulling on that anchor, getting us into the place where we need to be. Now, whether or not that illustration works, it is a beautiful illustration. I hope indeed that there's some truth to it. But I will tell you that Christ has gone before us, and he is most assuredly solid, stable, trustworthy, and the work of the cross that gives us access to the love, the grace, and the pleasure of our Father. It's undisputed. So when you are in a season of difficulty, hold fast and do not abandon your faith. Many people ask difficult questions and they get tripped up over difficult questions. I understand the desire to know, the need even to know. But there is this which you absolutely can know. Your anchor will hold if your anchor is Christ. And so I share that as an encouragement to whoever needed it today. And I ask that you would join me in just a moment of prayer. And then I will give an opportunity for us to worship the Lord together. So if you would, bow your heads for a moment. Lord, your intentions, you have stated, you have proven, and though they may sometimes seem to be obscured in our momentary affliction, your intentions are to bless us and to multiply us, and we accept this by faith. Like Abraham, we will hold fast, though it take 25 years for the promise to be fulfilled. You have guaranteed this with an oath, swearing by yourself, your immutable character, and your unfailing word. In these it is impossible for you to lie, and so we hold fast to that hope. Jesus, draw us into the holy place, that we may commune with the Lord face to face, without shame, without guilt, that we may receive the pleasure and the power of our God and Father. We ask for this grace today for us in this room, for those who are listening online, and for those who will check in later. I pray strength, health, grace, favor, blessing, and multiplication for the kingdom's sake and for your name. Amen.